It's March. Next up is State versus Speed. And we're back to 10 minutes aside on this one. Come on ahead. We're good. Just wanted to give Mr. March a chance to gather up his papers.
Good morning. My name is Lawrence DeLay. I represent Arrow Speed. In this case, we are seeking the reversal of the issuance of a search warrant, and that seeking that the results of the search should have been suppressed.
How much time did you reserve for?
I reserved 3 minutes. I'll turn first to the informant's tip and the informant. Errol Speed was a whistleblower. He had complained to the county that it had issued a building permit improperly, and he was vindicated on that claim. The permits were issued to Mr. Pearson. Mr. Pearson retaliated by inventing allegations about Mr. Speed and a structure on his property and reported those allegations to a county building official. That building official issued an activity report that mentioned Mr. Pearson by name and stated what Mr. Pearson had told him. That report went to a code enforcement officer who included in the search warrant application the information given by Mr. Pearson, but not Mr. Pearson's name, and did not indicate that this was an informant's tip. What was missing here was the Aguilar-Spinelli two-part test that is to be applied to an informant as to reliability, etc. And the entire investigation began with the informant's tip.
The investigation began because they received the informant's tip.
Yes.
But was the informant's information the fact, was the information provided by the informant the facts that the state relied upon and presented to the magistrate to get a search warrant, or was it other information assembled by the code enforcement officer through his own investigation?
Everything had its genesis with the informant's tip.
That doesn't answer my question. What facts did the state rely upon in its probable cause affidavit, and who gathered those facts?
Using the informant's tip as a tip, the code enforcement officer and the building official went to the Polaris, the county-created Polaris website, and presented those images on the website to the magistrate. None of that would have happened if the informant had not come forth with the tip.
Okay, what happens, in, under the way you're applying the law, the police get a anonymous tip that there is a severed body head in a yard waste disposal. They have no idea whether there is or not, but it's a significant enough tip given recent events that they decide they better go look. They go look, they find it, and then they discover evidence that links what they find to an individual. And then they go get a warrant to search an individual's house. Does Aguilar-Spinelli have any application in that scenario?
There are cases where an informant is not disclosed, where the police do not know who the informant is. It's confidential, or the person just doesn't give their name. Those cases are different. Here, the county knew exactly who Mr. Pearson was. They knew that he had a bone to pick with Mr. Speed.
The point I'm trying to make is what we're concerned with is what facts were presented to the magistrate and who was the source of those facts. In Aguilar-Spinelli, the facts that were presented to the magistrate were the facts related by the informant. In my hypothetical, and apparently in this case, that's not so.
What the informant had presented to the building official was that there was a suspected residence that where Mr. Speed was.
I accept that as true, but the state didn't then go, we've got this informant, he says this, give us a warrant to go search Mr. Speed's property. Instead, they did some investigation on their own and independently gathered facts and presented the facts they independently gathered to the magistrate to support finding probable cause. Aren't those different?
The information presented to the magistrate was only on the basis of the images. If you exclude the images that were found, that were seen, that were created by the county, there will be no information about the property.
Well, that's a different legal issue, whether those images are appropriately considered and whether they had to satisfy Aguilar-Spinelli.
By concealing the identity of the informant and the informant's motivations, the magistrate was actually misled because there was no basis on which to judge the credibility of the informant. That's what Aguilar-Spinelli addresses.
And the reason it does that is because the court is being asked to rely upon the informant's facts to decide whether or not probable cause exists.
Here, the principal significant facts were the structure and whether it was permitted and whether it was a residence. And those are the facts given by the informant. So it was where everything started. And from that, the code enforcement officer went to the county website and looked at the images there and presented the images to the magistrate.
Do you have any cases besides Aguilar-Spinelli that you rely upon for your where it started approach to probable cause analysis?
No, Aguilar-Spinelli. Well, I think in my brief I did cite other cases which addresses the state's comment that sometimes an informant's tip may not be subject to Aguilar-Spinelli, and I distinguish them in the briefing.
So it would be your view of the law that whenever a police investigation originates because of an informant's tip, identification information and other information to establish the reliability of that informant needs to be in the affidavit supporting the request for the warrant?
Where the informant is known to the building official, to the police, essentially, yes, then the analysis needs to be done.
Regardless of what other information is available to present to the magistrate?
Yes, yes. First, further on, there may be other information that can come to light based on the tip, based on further information that has led the county to conduct its investigations.
That means your time's up and you have 3 minutes for rebuttal.
Okay, thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. I'm Jennifer Joseph. I'm a King County Deputy Prosecuting Attorney appearing today as a special deputy for San Juan County. I think in the briefing, Mr. Speed has done a very good job of attempting to make a garden variety code enforcement case a compelling story about the eye in the sky. And we agree that it is very interesting to think about how far a governmental eye in the sky could go with drones becoming more popular and with detailed satellite imagery being publicly available for free. There certainly will be cases that test notions of reasonable expectations of privacy and both governmental and commercial intrusions on that privacy, but this is not that case.
Well, for this not to be that case, persuade us that without the informant's tip and without the photographs, that there was sufficient evidence of probable cause for the warrant.
Sure. And I would direct you to both the district court and the superior court's decisions in this case, which go through in quite significant detail what remained in the warrant after you struck the photos. And whether the photos were properly relied upon is another issue. I'll rely on my brief for that. But the information that was remaining after you struck the images were a building permit is required for a residence. No building permit could be found.
But we didn't know at this point that it was a residence.
I have more. A building permit is required for a building over 1,000 square feet. No building permit could be found. An approved owner-builder exemption is required for a building less than 1,000 square feet but more than 200 square feet. And that there was no approved statement of exemption. Assessor records showed that it had been represented to the assessor that there was a wood stove in the structure. The defendant later said, no, there's not a wood stove in the structure. a mechanical permit is required for a wood stove. There was no mechanical permit filed. In addition, defendant's counsel represented that the defendant was living in the trailer on the property. There was no permit of occupancy in the record. There was no sewage disposal permit, which was one of the county's most pressing concerns. And San Juan County Superior Court records showed that this particular defendant had done the same thing before, had built a residence, had lived in the residence, and had called it an agricultural accessory building.
Which record showed that?
This was San Juan County Superior Court records from 2001, and you can find that discussion on CP 349, Clerk's Papers 349.
And none of that information came from the informant?
Absolutely not.
And none of that information came from the photographs?
Absolutely not. So without the images, without any information from the tipster, there was probable cause to believe that there were one or two unpermitted structures on the property. That's a violation of the law. There were numerous other issues about the mechanical permit and the trailer occupancy permit and things like that. So there was probable cause to believe that there were law violations going on at the defendant's property, regardless of the pictures.
What was the scope of the warrant here? Was it to go onto the property and from the outside of structures observe what appeared to be there, or did it allow for something more intrusive than that?
I would have to check the record to be totally certain about that, but I believe that the investigators did enter into the structure, the suspected single-family residence, and I think that the warrant allowed them to take pictures and measurements and things of that nature. I'm not sure how much more I have to add to my brief, but I'm happy to answer any questions the court has about any of this. The one thing maybe that I'll leave you with, if you don't have questions, is that in Jackson, the court is very clear that a tip is a legitimate way to start an investigation. And when the tip alone is not the basis for the search warrant, it doesn't need to be evaluated under Aguilar-Spinelli. Even if we did evaluate this tip and said, oh, it fails Aguilar-Spinelli, we don't have any information about this guy's basis of knowledge or anything like that, and I can see that is the case. You can still build probable cause with an independent investigation, and that was done in this case.
On the issue of the databases, it's clear that Polaris was contracted by the county, so it was developed as state action. Does the county also concede that's true of the Google mapping photographs, that they were done by the U.S. government, provided to Google, or in conjunction?
That decision was made by the district and superior courts. It was not subject to his motion for discretionary review and is not before the court right now. If the court has no further questions,
I'll
yield my time.
May I respond?
You've got your 3 minutes.
What remains after the images are struck is nothing about the property. The magistrate was told of a footprint of the structure. Footprint is not a correct analysis of an accessory structure. The magistrate was misled. The statement of exemption, Mr. Errol Speed had filed the statement of exemption. The applicant for the search warrant did not tell that to the magistrate. The magistrate was misled. The statement of exemption had been filed. The wood stove does not need a permit. Owning and possessing a wood stove does not need a permit.
Does using a wood stove require a permit?
Using, yes, but there was no evidence there was a wood stove there. In fact, there was a letter to the county before the search warrant was issued saying there is no wood stove being used on the premises. The assessor's office said the building is unheated. The assessor's office never said there's a wood stove in there. Part of the search warrant was directing the officers to look for a connection between the pipe on the ceiling with a wood stove. They never responded to that question. There is no evidence of a wood stove being used in that building. The permit for the trailer, having no permit for a trailer did not give the police authority to go into a totally unrelated separate structure, go inside that, and conduct a search.
Do you have a case that you rely on for that proposition?
Well, it's simply that in order to have a search, one has to have a search warrant that directs a search in a particular area. If I get a search warrant for a trailer, I get to search the trailer. I don't get to have free rein everywhere on the property and search everything.
If the allegation is using the property illegally for a residence, would the scope of the search warrant be limited to the trailer?
In this case, the search warrant was...
Indulge me and answer my hypothetical rather than the facts of the case.
If the
allegation was that somebody was illegally living on the property and the evidence cited was the presence of the trailer, would the scope of the search warrant of the Fourth Amendment necessarily be limited to the trailer?
It would be limited to the places where there was a violation of law, and that would be the trailer. It would not be, there wouldn't be a violation of law for living, for camping on a piece of property.
If someone went on looking for the trailer and in plain view was a building which anyone could tell was more than 200 square feet, would that information then be available for prosecution?
No, because having a building more than 200 square feet is not a violation of law. It's not significant. It is over 1,000 square feet that one has to have a permit. This structure was under 1,000 feet.
Thank you.